Good morning. It is time to get up with a basketball blockbuster. Dame, Dell, are he and Giannis about to get Greek freaky all over the NBA? Meanwhile, how about them Cowboys? Dan is going to show you exactly how they can solve the one issue that could keep them down. And then, with Tay-Tay in the house, is Zach ready to say welcome to New York? Or have all the good vibes of August really slipped away like a bottle of wine? If you know, you know. It's time to get up on a Thursday. Let's go. All right, the regular football squad is here, but we've been joined. Monica McNutt makes her way in on an enormous day in the NBA. And Wendy is ready to roll. Woj is going to be with us as the morning continues.
You said Greeky.
And Tay-Tay.
I got Greek Freaky, I got Tay-Tay, I got Wendy, and we got Dame Delt. How about that? Enormous news out of the NBA. Portland traded Damian Lillard to Milwaukee, part of a three-team deal that also includes the Suns. So Dame teams up with Giannis to form one of the most potent tandems in the entire NBA. Just how good? Well, the move sends the Bucks from plus 750 to 375 NBA title favorites at Caesars. It will be the first time in at least 40 seasons that the Bucks enter as the NBA title favorites. Prior to yesterday's move, Denver had been the betting favorite all offseason long. So I mentioned Wendy is there and Monica is here. Let's start with the simplest of questions. Is Milwaukee the best team in the NBA now with Dame Lillard and Giannis teamed up? Yes or no?
Yes or no? That simple on my first return?
That simple. Are they the team to beat in the NBA right now? Vegas says yes.
I'm going to go no. Listen, they are one of two in my mind. But we've seen this how many consecutive years now, Greeny? Past 2019, when Kawhi Leonard was the add water ingredient, I just lost an earring because I feel that passionately. When Kawhi Leonard was the add water ingredient for the Raptors, it hasn't quite worked in year one. And I think we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge the injury history between these guys. Now, having said all that, I'm literally only giving Denver the benefit of the doubt because they just did it and retained most of their core. But very easily, this is a squad that's going to be a problem.
Wendy, the first thing you said to me this morning is this is the kind of NBA trade that almost never happens. What does that mean? And what does it all mean in the big picture for these teams?
Yeah, it's a grade A blockbuster. You have a Hall of Fame player, top 75 player, Dame Lillard, being traded for a guy who I think is going to be a Hall of Famer in Drew Holiday. Very rarely do we see something like that. I do think it's a net positive for the Bucks, but maybe not the way those odds reflect. They were a number 15 offensive team last year. You get Dame Lillard, you're going to be a top five, maybe top three offensive team. That's an incredible pairing to think about, Giannis and Dame playing together. However, Dame is not a strong defender. They've just traded away one of the best defenders in the league. They were a top five defensive team last year. They're not going to be this year under this alignment. Maybe they're 10% better, Greeny, in terms of this title chase. Maybe 5%. I don't know. The real question is, what does it mean for Giannis? Giannis made it clear he was not going to sign an extension with his team. He wanted to see them go all in. They have gone all in. But if he still doesn't sign an extension, they're still on the one-year window. If he's smiling and happy but not holding a pen next week, they're still under the same pressure, which is if they don't win the title this year, I don't know if he's going to want to stay. So absolutely, Milwaukee reacted to what Giannis said. In fact, it's kind of a playbook for star players. Press your team because they'll do big stuff like this.
Yeah, that's right. He made the not-so-subtle comments about wanting to win championships and how significant that is for Giannis's future. Do you think this is a move made with that in mind? Obviously, you're trying to win a title, which begets that, but is this as much about Giannis's future in Milwaukee as anything else?
Yes, but I also think it's about the Bucks as an organization that is attractive to potential free agents down the road. Wendy has documented plenty of times on the pod over the summer they've undergone an ownership change. So to me, this is yes in the immediate future about business as it relates to Giannis. But beyond that, you want to be an ownership group that is respected, especially in a small market, and so that guys think that they have the opportunity to go there, get it done, and have the pieces put around them.
All right, I wanted to check this to the moment, and I did, and it is still accurate, Wendy. Right now, the number one trending topic on Twitter, or now X, is Drew Holiday. What does that mean and how significant? People are going to talk a lot about Dame Lillard. What should they be saying about Drew Holiday, and where do you think the likeliest spot is for him to end up?
My comments to those NBA fans, because they know what happens with Drew Holiday and where he ends up in the next couple of weeks could be a bigger outcome on the NBA title than this trade with Dame Lillard. And I say that because Drew Holiday is now available on sale. 2 days ago, you couldn't get Jrue Holiday from the Bucks unless you were offering a superstar player and draft picks. Now Portland is going to be willing to sell him basically for draft compensation. You're not going to have to send him a great player. That means a bunch of teams that can compete for the title with the Bucks are now brought into it. I'm talking about Boston, New York, Miami, potentially the LA Clippers, and even more teams. Jrue Holiday is a plug-and-play, two-way, low-impact, low-ego player who has proven to have championship DNA. Teams are crawling all over themselves, contenders. And I would even argue that it's possible that a team that acquires Jrue Holiday, despite this star pairing in Milwaukee, could feel better about its championship chances than they did a couple of days ago.
All right, fascinating. So then give me the team. Give me a team that could wind up making this deal Wendy is talking about for Jrue Holiday and make themselves, in your mind, the favorites to win it all.
My first thought, Greeny, Wendy, was immediately Boston. Now, I'm not 100% sure what they have in the chest as far as what Portland is looking for, but to Wendy's point, it seems like it's going to be far more reasonable. But they just lost a presence in Marcus Smart. There's been rumors about the Malcolm Brogdon situation, although I think he's a solid point guard, obviously coming off of that Sixth Man of the Year award. Boston, to me, it's just sort of revengeful. It's still in the East. Like, it's the most juiciest, tantalizing, and I think impactful immediately play that could be made.
All right, so that's the important stuff you need to know. Milwaukee, good, great. We'll see. Jrue Holiday still waiting and enormously important. Wendy, Monica, stay close by. Woj coming up as we continue as well. So much more on the blockbuster trade. But week four of the NFL season kicks off tonight at Lambeau Field. Here's what you need to know. Lions and Packers. Lions haven't won a road game against the Packers in September since 1980. They're currently favored at Lambeau for just the third time in the last 30 years. Jared Goff continues to dominate using play action. He's been terrific since the start of last season for Detroit. 19 touchdowns off play action. That leads the NFL. He's throwing for a first down on 54% of play action snaps. And then you got Jordan Love. He's been up and down starting the season, completing 53% of his passes, second worst in the NFL. But bear in mind, these are just his first three real opportunities as the man in Green Bay. And he brought them back from a big deficit last week. So let me talk to my favorite former Lion here. How would you describe what is at stake for the Lions on the road tonight?
Yeah, this is the moment. Week one, Kansas, this is the moment. All the offseason hype for Detroit, all the expectations. You go on the road to a team that has owned your division for 15 plus years. They're beat up in Green Bay. You're relatively healthy in Detroit. All the conversation that we've had this offseason that you are bona fide NFC contenders, this is the moment. National TV, Thursday Night Football, and I think this game comes down to two things. Explosive runs, Detroit's run game is the most diverse in the NFL, and Green Bay's defense has given it up. And then which rookie tight end helps out Jordan Love or Jared Goff the most? The rookie tight end in Green Bay, Jake Musgraves, got to help Jordan Love out. You talked about the completion percentage.
Yeah.
It's got to be his speed against this Detroit defense. And then Sam Laporta, the rookie tight end for Detroit with Jared Goff, it's going to be about the physicality. Musgraves' ability to separate against Detroit's secondary is going to be a big deal. Not just vertical speed, but run away from coverage. And then Laporta's physicality, both in the run game and the pass game, is going to be a huge part in determining who wins the football game tonight.
So watch the tight ends tonight and give us one other player, Harry, that everyone should be watching when the game kicks off tonight.
I'm going to go with the steal of the NFL draft this past season, Brian Branch, their safety. A guy that's very versatile, that can play in the box, can guard the slot, the wide receivers, can guard tight ends, can also be a part of that run game. I watched that game versus the Atlanta Falcons. He was in on a lot of those tackles within that run game. So Brian Branch, I think, is the chess piece when it comes to the Detroit Lions in this game versus the Green Bay Packers.
All right, and so Kmart, let's talk about what's at stake here. Feels like a big night because this is supposed to be Detroit's season.
It's supposed to be, yes, because think about
clearly a big night.
Ended last season. We thought that week 18, they had nothing to play for except they came out and beat the Packers. And you wondered, can the Lions, with this roster, with the draft picks that they accumulated, can they be better or pick up where they left off? I think Jared Goff has picked up where he left off last season. And they've done it without Jameson Williams, which I think is a really big deal. This is supposed to be the Lions' division. Aaron Rodgers is out of the division. This was supposed to be their year. And we've talked a lot about Jordan Love. We've talked about, Are the Packers now in line to keep things going with this quarterback? The Lions have to quiet all that and say, no, this is our time.
How impressed have you been with Jordan Love 3 starts?
Oh, incredibly impressed. He's also done it a lot without the health of his football team.
Right.
Watson's been out. He's Tonight, he's going to play without the whole left side of his offensive line. Bakhtiari and Jenkins are out. That's why, for many reasons for me, it feels like a must-win for the Detroit Lions. Romeo Doubs down in the red zone and the connection that Jordan Love and he have has been tremendous. But it's not just those two. It's been Jordan Love to Reed. It's been Jordan Love to Musgrave. It's been Jordan Love to Doubs. He's going to have another incredible performance if they expect to win at home. I think this feels like a must-win for Detroit as I sit here 12 hours away from kickoff. They're the healthier football team. And again, to the point, if they want the nation to sit here and say, well, brand new Lions, not same old Lions, like they do on McAfee show, this is a game that they got to go win on the road.
Well, they did it 3 weeks ago on a Thursday night, right? They showed the whole country what they have. They go into Kansas City and win. They need to back it up tonight. What do you expect?
I expect it to be a great game, number one, but I think the physicality, when you look at how Green Bay's defense was able to hold the New Orleans Saints to just 17 points and didn't give up a point in the second half, but here's what I can't ignore. I can't ignore the fact that Jordan Love was down 17 in the fourth quarter, made the throws with his arm and also his legs and did everything necessary. You look at that two-point conversion, Dano, it wasn't there.
He
his
looked it, right?
His improvision and making something happen, making something out of nothing, and that was the difference in that ballgame in the winner.
You know, let me say one more thing. I just mentioned Bakhtiari and Jenkins are out tonight, right? Am I correct on that? Aiden Hutchinson, here we go. Like, remember coming out of the draft, it was, is it going to be Aiden Hutchinson going number one? Is it going to be Trayvon Walker who went to the Jags? With the backup left tackle, really, and guard, Aiden Hutchinson has to be a storyline tonight to be a dominant football player. Rashawn Gary on the other side versus Penei Sewell. But Aiden Hutchinson, this is a chance to remind the country, like, maybe you should have gone number one in that draft. And it's not just about Jordan Love or Jared Goff.
Maybe we'll know how well they're playing by how many shots of his parents we wind up getting tonight. Right? If we get a lot of shots of the family, then we know things are going well for the Lions at Lambeau. All right, that's where it starts tonight. But we have so much to do. What a morning we have for you here. Do the Jets have a solution for their own quarterback? We'll tell you the only thing that gives them a chance on Sunday night. Plus, Myles Garrett is a wrecking machine. Will Lamar have to rely more on his arm than his legs in order to beat the Browns? It's a monster weekend in the NFL, and we're getting you ready as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore his seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Get Up is brought to you by The Creator. Experience the movie event only in theaters this Friday. Show us that boy band.
Oh, no, 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 no. Man, that boy band.
Man, that boy band.
Relax, Greeny. This is my segment. Boom. Oh, oh, damn, Greeny. Boom. Right in the bread basket. My goodness, Greeny. It's like taking candy from a baby. Oh, my goodness. Watch it, watch it. Come here. Where you going? Oh, my goodness. That boy band. Let's do it again. Damn, that boy band.
That boy band. It's this move that you really have going.
That, I mean,
it's quite a move. All right, it is a weekly sensation. It is That Boy Band with Harry. Take it away.
We're going to go on down to South Beach, Miami. Not really, but we are. We're going to go to Davon Aitken, a running back that plays wide receiver, that does kick returns, can do it all, Greeny. We talk about 233 scrimmage yards from the line of scrimmage, 2 receiving touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. The man runs it in 100 meters, a 10.14. Look at the defenders. diving on the ground, can't catch him, unexcusable absence. Just the man is back. That boy bad.
That boy bad.
Mr. Aitchin. Let's go on up to, over to L.A. Excuse me, Minnesota. I forgot the game was in Minnesota. But Keenan Allen. Uh-huh. Everyone talks about this young man like he isn't good anymore, like he's old. But Keenan Allen is a route technician. But check this out. Keenan Allen is a damn quarterback. Look at him throwing to Mike Williams. Sometimes it may look a little better than Justin Herbert. Maybe not. That boy bad. Keenan Allen, I'm a representative for the veterans. Okay. Atta baby, boy. Atta baby. That boy bad right there. Last but not least, look at this. Look at this, Greeny.
Look at
this. You talk about playing around, and this is my team.
Yeah.
This is my team at Tennessee Titans. Uh-huh. But you have to do this.
Yeah.
You have to send two men with him. Now, what I would say is that don't send two damn tight ends against him because he gonna bust through those two guys too. 3.5 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits, Myles Garrett, dead boy, bad. Myles Garrett, one more time. Dead boy, bad. My goodness.
That
should have been the defensive player of the week.
One more time.
Dead boy, bad.
Okay.
All about the hips, Greg.
I don't have those. The amazing thing about that play, where they got a delay of game by chasing him around and all that stuff and figuring it out. He sacked the quarterback on the next play anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't get him blocked no matter what they do. So, this weekend, the immovable object that is Myles Garrett goes up against Lamar Jackson and company in a monster game. Ravens at Browns. We have a lot of very tight insight on that game. Kmart, first of all, we'll start with you. That's your game this weekend.
Yes, I will
Go.
Be there.
Open the notebook.
So I actually spoke to Deshaun Watson last week after the game, and he talked about the criticisms of his play. And he said, you know what, he can't listen to the outside noise. I just have to be better. We will not make excuses. But imagine if this offense matches the play of the defense. He told me there is no ceiling for how good at great we could be. But also, look at the Ravens, though. They have a lot of key injuries. Yesterday, 7 guys did not practice, including Odell, Kyle Hamilton, Marcus. Like, they have a lot of guys that have not practiced. And I'm curious who shows up on Sunday.
This game's about Lamar Jackson in the pass game. If the Ravens think that they are going to line up on first down against Cleveland's defense and run the football, they're going to get blown out. This defensive line in Cleveland is firing off the football better than anybody in the game. This game's got to be about Zay Flowers. It's got to be about OBJ. He's got to play. Bateman, they're going to see man coverage, and it's going to be the conversation, this pass game, how they get the ball down the field, this trifecta of wide receivers. It's time to show up. You're not going to beat them running the football if you're Baltimore.
Now, you mentioned Zay Flowers. So I spoke to Zay Flowers yesterday, and he said, that Colts loss, that was us. That was on us. We cost ourselves that game. He said, I love this Todd Monken offense because we know how explosive we can be. I know that I could be used everywhere. They call him joystick for a reason.
Yeah.
If health is really the thing that is stopping this Ravens team, in my opinion.
I agree with that. They got to throw the ball downfield real quickly to Zay Flowers. As great as as much as I love him, get the ball in his hands in the short stuff, we got to push the ball downfield versus coverage or man coverage this weekend.
Harry is doing the game on ESPN Radio. So, again, you're studying the notes and the tape. What are you seeing?
I'm looking at this Ravens offense. They better be ready for the blitz. Because one thing Jim Schwartz told us against the Cincinnati Bengals who have the personnel is that we don't care about who you have over there. We believe in our guys. And they have the personnel from the defensive line, the linebackers in the secondary to play man coverage. So how's Lamar Jackson in this offense going to do against the blitz? Because you know it's coming.
Wait, and they struggled with that. Since Lamar's been a Raven, they've struggled with pressure. They very rarely had a plan. And kind of Harry mentions the secondary. Denzel Ward, I don't know if there's a corner in football playing better than Denzel Ward right now, and that's a huge deal. Who's the matchup that they like if you're Baltimore offensive?
I want to hear more about this new-look Ravens offense because it hasn't been explosive. There have been moments. We've seen some moments. They have injury problems, which obviously contributed. You mentioned OBJ and all the rest of that.
Sure.
So a work in progress.
Yeah.
Does it look like something that is going to be great?
Absolutely. Week one, I said the timing's got to get there between the trust and the pass game. Week two, it was there. And then week three, it wasn't because Odell got hurt and then the left tackle, Ronnie Stanley's not there. They're not necessarily on the same page. And I would agree with Kimberly's point that Zay Flowers said they blew it. They did. Mm-hmm. Drops and lack of execution in the most important moments. The weather certainly played a conversation. They got to get to the point where Zay Flowers is the guy that is almost used in the way that Percy Harvin used to be, mm-hmm. where they would get him the ball, but then they would throw it downfield mm-hmm. to him. OBJ's got to get healthy. Bateman, there needs to be that consistency yep. for yes. the pass game. Is it capable? 100%.
This game is about Lamar, but for me, it's about this Browns defense that I've covered for a very long time. Talking to Za'Darius Smith, he's like, the difference with this team now is we got some badasses. And no Jim doubt. Schwartz coaches us to be that. It is straight chaos. They want to flush QBs out the pocket, make it messy, and make sure that their secondary holds up. But do you want Lamar outside? Do you want him scrambling around?
And I'll say this. I think the only unit that can compare with them that's confident like the Browns right now is the Miami Dolphins offense. Huh. That's the only unit I can say that feels confident about their guys making plays.
So Cleveland's that good.
You say yeah. defense.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying. I want to make sure the audience understands.
Yes.
Because we talk a lot about San Francisco's defense. Yep. We have talked a lot about the Cowboys' defense. We've talked about the Jets' defense before the season began. You're telling me the best defense in football right now is Cleveland.
And the numbers don't lie.
Yes.
They're first in just about every category across
yes.
the board.
This defense absolutely deserves to be in the conversation with Dallas and San Francisco.
Yes.
100%. Do I think that San Francisco's defense is better? I do, as of right now, but the addition of Za'Darius Smith, when they put him and Myles Garrett on the same side of the defensive line together and it's an obvious pass situation, punt.
Who do we believe in this division? Cincinnati, rough start, obviously. Burrow guts it out the other night.
I still believe in Cincinnati.
That's the team you believe in, long term.
I'm telling everybody, do not sleep on them. Joe Burrow hopefully stays healthy. It's the best offensive line he's ever had. Finally got the ball to Jamar. And I think their defense is young and athletic in a way that they haven't necessarily had.
I'm going to go Ravens if they can stay healthy. That's the thing. They
you just told us you thought they were the best defense in ball.
So, I'll agree with Harry. Ravens were my preseason Super Bowl winner. But the thing I believe most in is this Cleveland
and
defense.
And let right. me say this.
Yeah.
If Pittsburgh will weaponize George Pickens.
Oh, yes, Lord.
But they got to do
we
that.
We need it. We need it, Canada.
I don't understand why
it.
They don't, because that boy, bam.
Coming up. Danny loves it when I say this. With Tay-Tay in the house. Is Zach ready to say welcome to New York? Or say it with me, Taylor Swift fans. Has August really sipped away like a bottle of wine?
Jeez, man.
If you know, you know.
I'm a 40-year-old man.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on Get Up. Zach Wilson back under center for the Jets, hosting the Chiefs on Sunday night. And after all of the struggles that he showed against the Patriots, Swagoo was here yesterday, and he said the time has come to just let Zach Wilson let it rip.
Listen to me closely. Regardless of if Zach Wilson is not good enough and Zach Wilson is – they don't believe in Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson needs to walk in there and say, F it. I'm finna play as hard as I can. Coach, don't preserve the playbook. Call the plays, and I'm going to go – and if I throw seven interceptions, I throw seven interceptions.
I like that.
Because
I would
right
do that.
Now,
I would do that.
That is the problem.
I was with him until this, if you throw seven interceptions, whatever. That's what they're sick of seeing.
I'm not a body language expert, but my sense is you didn't agree.
I did not.
But I have been waiting all week long to ask you this. And look, everyone knows the Zach Wilson stuff and everything else. At the end of the day, is it salvageable? And if so, how?
They got 14 days to fix it. Season's on the line. They got to take the handcuffs off. We got to stop babying Zach Wilson. If you go post-game last week, him and Bob Wischusen are talking, who's the play-by-play guy for the Jets radio, and Zach says, well, my job is to take care of the football and then try and make a play on third down. No, it's not. We have to stop treating this young man like he's absolutely not talented at all. I'm so tired of everybody saying the way that they play football is, hey, just don't give the ball away. We'll play good defense, good special teams, and we'll have a chance to win the game in the fourth quarter. How's that working out, Jets? When you try to baby a player and you try to hold him back, this is what happens. You don't really actually have the chance to win the football game. Your defense is never allowed to dictate the flow of the game. Zach Wilson's scared to throw the football. This is what has to happen, okay? You, as a defense, the defensive player should walk into Robert Saleh's offenses and be like, tell the kid to let it loose. And if we're as good as everyone says we are and you think we are, we'll make up for it. If he throws a pick, we'll figure it out. We'll handle it. And as an offensive staff, and I like Nathaniel Hackett and I love Todd Downing, their quarterback coach, I think they're really good football minds. You guys need to design plays that gets cats open and tell Zach, throw it to the guy we tell you to throw it to. And guess what? If it's a pick, it's on us. We'll design better plays. You watch this young man play, and all you see is, please don't make a mistake. Please don't make a mistake. Please don't make a mistake. He's broken. He's broken. I'm not telling everybody he's Patrick Mahomes. What I'm telling everybody is they have made him so scared to go play football and to go play quarterback and trust his eyes and trust his instincts that everyone's going, he stinks. No, he doesn't. He's just been formulated or controlled in a way where he's scared to throw the ball and he's scared to make mistakes. And they got to stop handcuffing him and babying him. Because here's the thing, Jets. You guys have done it your way. And you're 0-2. Yep. You got 14 days to figure it out. If not, the season's done.
When you say 14 days, they've got the Kansas City game and then the Denver game. Is that what you mean by that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they had to find a way to win one.
Yeah. Well, they have to beat Denver. The Kansas City, it seems to me, they could play their best game ever and not beat Kansas City.
It could beat Kansas City.
From your mouth to God's ears. I mean, that would be an extraordinary upset.
Their defense is elite. They have to give the defense a chance to control the game. They got to get a lead. And they're not going to get a lead by a quarterback going, okay, this is the way I kind of phrase it. There's a difference between making a good decision and the right decision as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. All of us can make a good decision. Just don't throw the ball to the other team.
Right.
The right decision is when the opportunity is there for you to cut it loose. Well, and live with the results.
Well, let me say this about the defense, because has that defense been playing well? Yes, but when Quinnen Williams tips a screen pass that could get picked off for a pick six, you got to make it. You can't have the cover three bust where the corner's supposed to overlap for a touchdown. You can't have the drop interception versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Agreed.
That could have altered that football game. So not only are you going to be able to make your plays, you have to make the routine ones when they come. When teams give you gifts, you have to. But as far as Zach Wilson, what else do you have to lose? And like Dano just said, you have done it your way. The last
Look at this. Watch this. It's 3rd and 6. He takes one hitch and throws the check down, Harry.
This is cover two.
Right.
This is cover two. So the receiver at the bottom of the screen.
What did he do wrong?
So this is later in the game.
Yeah.
This is the same exact play, same exact coverage.
Cover two, whole shot.
He rips the cover two, whole shot. That's in between the safety. Play it again for me, guys. So the first part of this clip, it's 3rd and 6. What Zach should do is go like 1, 2, 3, kind of peek at Garrett Wilson down the left sideline. Watch, 3rd and 6. He should peek at Garrett Wilson. 1, 2, 3, hitch, and then throw the check down. Looking at that, Zach already knew before he got the ball, I'm throwing the ball to the back. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting a first down. Mm-hmm. This is the same play versus the same coverage. It's the same concept. And for some reason, because they're down 10 with 7 minutes to go. So that's why I like fight people when they tell me Zach Wilson sucks. How do you watch that and tell me he stinks? That play is very indicative of there's talent there.
But the question is there talent in Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson's issue is
all
here.
It's the mindset.
I agree.
So when you say that the Jets have handcuffed him, did he already come into the situation not ready for the moment, for the stage? Because watching him even draft night, the concern for me was a kid from BYU was going to come to this market, come with all the expectations. I remember doing a feature on how the Jets think they may have their next Joe Namath. That's what they're hoping. If this all works, they got a guy that they can win with. And we literally have Joe Namath, the legend of the franchise, saying, get this guy out of here. I don't know how much of this is the Jets have handcuffed him versus Zach Wilson not being ready. Either way, what they are doing, to your point, is not working. Robert Saleh gave a tremendous speech during Hard Knocks and said, you know what? There comes a lot of expectations with us. A lot of crows going to be coming after us. Guess what? They are no longer Eagles. They are the crows. They need to completely shift mindset and say, you know what? Screw it. We, like, this is our season. Let defense focus on us. We cannot worry about Zach Wilson. We have to make plays. Same way Cleveland, not worrying about Deshaun Watson. The defense is like, we have a job to do. Pittsburgh, we're not worried about Kenny Pickett right now. We have a job to do. That's what the defense has to do, and let Zach figure it out on his own.
Well, here's the funny thing about those two plays that we just showed is that the second one, the receiver inside release.
Which usually
That's when you probably don't want to throw it. And he made that throw.
He can make the throws.
The first time lets you know, but also the situation. When you're late in the ball game, you got to come back. You're basically saying, screw it, I got to make plays regardless.
There's
now
a free
so
mind.
I'm going to throw it.
In this moment, you're sitting here, I'm telling you, everyone, his first thought is, don't make a mistake. Guys, he told Bob Wischusen, my job is to protect the ball and then try and make a play on third down. Those words are the audio definition of a player that has been coached to play scared. And this happens so often. I love Robert Saleh, but defensive coaches often will try to formulate a game that says, we will play great defense, play good special teams, and don't lose the game. If you go back, because Kimberly, you just brought up the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did they do early in that football game versus the Raiders on Monday night? They took their shot. Touchdown. Yep. What happens with T.J. Watt and Highsmith then? All of a sudden, those cats hunt because they have an advantage. They have an opportunity to take the lead. And can we, like, what happened to the edge with this football team? To your point, Kimberly, with Hard Knocks, what happened to the swagger and to the moxie? There's none of that when you watch. Can we let Robert Saleh coach the football team, by the way? Joe Namath, one of the greatest Jets of all time. 2 years ago, Robert Saleh can't coach defense. This defense stinks. All of a sudden, he gets good players. And, whoa, Robert Saleh. Can we just let him coach the team instead of having to do all this extracurricular stuff? This is a team that still has a chance this year. But they have to stop babying the adult quarterback.
That part of it I agree with. Now, all the extracurricular stuff is what comes with being the coach, particularly in this city.
No.
If you're not ready for that job, you can't do it. If you can't deal with the talk shows and you can't deal with the get-ups and you can't, then that's part of the job. And I don't think that's part of the problem. Listen, I'm going to make an analogy you understand because of your love of golf. If you're having all kinds of problems with your swing, is the course where you figure that out or the driving range where you figure that out? Zach Wilson should have been on the range for 2 years.
Sure.
He should have been sitting, learning, listening, and doing nothing. Instead, he got thrown back out onto the course 4 plays into the season,
right,
and he's lost. So I agree with you. He probably, under the right circumstances, could have been a very good quarterback. Right now, I don't believe he can. I hope you are right and I'm wrong. I hope if they let it rip, it works. At the end of the day, I believe a week from today, we'll be talking about Trevor Siemian and maybe Carson Wentz or someone else like that, because I think the kid is broken and I think it is beyond repair at this point. He's got to go to the driving range and spend at least a year working on it.
It's never beyond repair, in my opinion. He is still a young enough player, and there are still moments when he has had decent spots or good. Go back to last
week. People said about Geno, and we're talking about Geno. Like, it's not the kid. The kid has talent, but again, like, it's bigger than that. Like, he's been coached to be scared. He is scared in the pocket. And if you are a coach and you understand that your job hangs in the balance here,
yeah,
I don't know if you'd be so willing to say, you know what, let's just chuck it. Let's just see what happens. Like a lot of people's lives depend on how this team does.
The worst thing that could happen is them playing Kansas City on Sunday night.
Well, that's what I mean.
Steve Spagnuolo is going to blitz Zach Wilson.
Let me ask one question to you, and then, Dan, I'll let you finish the point or finish the conversation. If you're Garrett Wilson, star receiver, as talented, as gifted as any receiver in the National Football League, you walked into the season thinking, I'm going to be the offensive player of the year, I'm going to become a billionaire, all that stuff. What are you saying to Zach Wilson during the week right now? What words are you saying to him?
A lot of curse words.
Give me the football.
Right?
Just give me a chance.
Conversation.
Give me a chance. Give me the football. Give me a chance. You don't have to be right. I'm going to make you right.
You know what I'm doing if I'm Garrett Wilson? I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals tape from this past Monday night with Ja'Marr Chase and saying, do exactly that with me. Ja'Marr Chase literally told us, because of Joe Burrow's injury, I don't care if he plays or not, we win the game because of me. So Garrett Wilson has to walk into that office to the offensive coaches and say, I don't care what it takes. Throw me the ball 15 times in this game and throw
it
early. And I will make it work. And then they got a chance.
What Garrett Wilson is saying is, I still believe in you. That is what he's saying. And that's what you want your wide receiver.
My last thing is this. I'm tired of the words from the New York Jets with all their coaches. And you believe in players by the way you coach them, by the play calls that you call. That's the reality.
Go. Go to Bob's. All right,
coming up. Are there big problems in Big D? Are the Cowboys on upset alert against Belichick and the Patriots? We're talking about that as we roll forward. And Dan will show you exactly how they can solve their single biggest issue. The iPad in his hand as only he can. That's next. Let's get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and the game is called Either Or. Let's look at the matchups. Kmart, who has more total touchdowns this weekend, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
Russell Wilson by default, I'm going to say. Listen, I'm not very excited about either of these offenses, but what I've seen from the Bears just makes me very sad. So I think the Broncos will have bounced that game. Russ's numbers aren't terrible. I think he'll actually have a good game this week.
Danny, how about tonight? Who has more total touchdowns, Jared Goff or Jordan Love?
Thermally, cheer up, okay? I'm going to say Jared Goff. Jared Goff is playing very good football for the Detroit Lions. Them and Ben Johnson, their play caller, the way they formulate their offensive run game and then tie it to their play action game, it's going to be a huge part against the good Green Bay front. Amon-Ra St. Brown gets the national stage again tonight. One of the best receivers in the NFL. I think Jared Goff leans on him and their young tight end, Sam Laporta.
A really good game Sunday is New England-Dallas. Harry, who has more rushing yards, Zeke Elliott or Tony Pollard?
Surprisingly, I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott. When you look at this defense of the New England Patriots, if they can force Dak Prescott to be one-dimensional in that offense, I think it's going to be able to create problems. We know what they can do on the back end of that defense, but that defensive line, they're going to be hungry. Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to be ready to eat, baby, against his old team.
Yeah, this is his Super Bowl, and I think they're going to run him heavy this week and give him a chance to try and make a point. But what the point everyone has been making all week was about the Cowboys' struggles in the red zone. So I gave Dan Orlovsky one job. I said, Dan, solve this problem for us as only you can.
And I've got it. Simply put, for the Cowboys' red zone to get better, Dak and CeeDee Lamb need to become Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. Okay, so everyone, this is CeeDee Lamb. This is one of the best young receivers in the NFL, the ball skills and the ability to jump with the football. This is going to be against the New York Jets. Now we get the motion down in the red zone. There's a couple indicators for Dak Prescott. Number one being that the safety is matched up on the tight end. Quarterbacks, when we get down in the red zone and we see that safety in that position like that on the tight end, we fully anticipate man coverage. Man coverage, it's about my guy versus your guy. Now at the bottom of the screen, the route concept is going to be a one-step slant in a corner. This is a great situation for the Dallas Cowboys. Why? Because it is 1-2 over 1-2. We got 2-on-2 in a corner route. It's ideal for our offense. CeeDee Lamb, 100 out of 100 times should get this football. Wide open touchdown. Throw it to the back corner if you're Dak Prescott. Touchdown Dallas Cowboys. The red zone woes are over. But for some reason, he goes up top to Jake Ferguson and there's a miss. Now we go last week to the Arizona Cardinals. You're going to get all out pressure. The zero blitz. We got 6 defenders pressuring. I got 5 offensive linemen. As a quarterback, I know I'm hot. Harry, down in the red zone, when we see this cover zero, which is, again, man-to-man across the board and pressure, as a wide receiver, where do you want the ball?
Throw that ball to that back pylon for me.
Okay, throw the ball to the back pylon to the best receiver on our football team. CeeDee Lamb has a corner route versus cover zero. I watched Brock Purdy do this on national TV. Watch CeeDee Lamb. Here comes the all-out pressure. For some reason, CeeDee Lamb, once again, is absolutely wide open to the corner route, but we are going to throw it to Brandon Cooks versus an inside leverage safety, and the ball is going to be incomplete. That ball, 100 out of 100 times, should go to CeeDee Lamb. So everyone's going, well, what's wrong with the Cowboys' red zone? Simply put, Jake Ferguson has 8 targets in the red zone. CeeDee Lamb has 2. Mm. They don't need to go outside of their building to fix this issue. What they need to do is throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb, and when they do, he's got to catch it.
So let's talk about that. Let's work our way back over to our usual spot. And, Harry, let me ask you. If Dan knows that, and when he points it out, it becomes so obvious to us, clearly Mike McCarthy and Brian Schottenheimer know that. So how do we explain the fact that they are not utilizing their best weapon on the most important part of the field?
I'll be honest with you. It's inexcusable. And it Amen. Should not be the case. It's inexcusable because what Dan just showed us, right, when you have cover zero right here, the leverage from the guy that's guarding him – tells you pre-snap
that you should throw
the ball to the corner.
Pray, please, please bring cover zero.
Yes.
We'll grab a walk-in touchdown.
And when I played, that was our answer. In the slot, cover zero, corner out. Based on leverage.
Right.
Leverage alone. Because their job in cover zero, the defender, is to not give up the inside. So he's scared to get beat inside. So that corner route's going to be there.
Let me ask you one more question, because the fan watching this is learning as they talk to you. Is that the fact that it doesn't get thrown there, is that on the quarterback? Is that on the coach? Is that on the scheme?
That's on the quarterback.
It's on Dak.
That's on the quarterback. 100%. He has seen cover zero. I said it on during the breakdown. Brock Purdy against the Giants.
Yeah.
Remember the touch? That's cover zero. It's on the quarterback. That is the ideal answer in those situations, is to have that cover zero and all of a sudden inside leverage man. Now, I've kind of made this point because everyone's going, well, they've got red zone issues. And I said, I disagree with that. I think that's getting blown out of proportion. Week one, there were two dropped touchdowns versus the Giants by the tight ends. So that's a fair conversation. Week two, it's the Jets, really good red zone defense. Week three versus the Cardinals. My issue is this right now with the Cowboys in the red zone. When I watch Jordan Love down in the red zone, Romeo Dobbs is getting that back shoulder fade.
Yep.
When I see Patrick Mahomes, who's getting the ball in the red zone?
Travis Kelce.
Right. Or he's going to run. The fact that CeeDee Lamb has two targets. Brandon Cooks has more targets in the red zone. Brandon Cooks is not a red zone threat.
Jake, 5'8".
Well, so this isn't, Greeny, I don't want to like oversimplify this. This ain't that hard.
Right.
I see these social media clips of, oh my gosh, CeeDee Lamb, look at him jump over the defender. And that's what they did with Dez.
Right.
So it's not that hard.
What do you make of this, Kmart?
So I feel like after week one, people were like, oh, Cowboys.
Yeah.
Cowboys could win it all. After week two, it's like, you know what? People are like, good on Dak. Taking what the defense gives them. Not trying to do too much. This Cowboys team might actually have it together. Now all of a sudden it's like, what are the Cowboys doing? Like, I get it. I just feel like that was a bad game.
I agree with that.
Like,
yeah.
It's early. Like, I just don't worry the same about the Cowboys. Like, from what I've seen this season, no. Obviously, you've got to score more in the red zone. Duh.
Let me say this, because within every football game, and I want fans to understand this, out of all the plays that you have in a football game, there's 4 to 6 that determines the outcome.
Right.
Not hitting that corner route versus cover zero could have been one of those plays.
1,000,000%.
And that's the point. And the thing about this week, Kmart, and we all understand, it's 3 games into the season. Every team is going to have their bad day. Every quarterback is going to have his bad day. But this was the first time, to the point you were making, where they needed Dak to put the team on the shoulders. This was the first time the defense didn't completely dominate a game. It was the first time that they said, hey, quarterback, go win us a game.
Right.
And it didn't happen. So I think it is reasonable to at least be asking these questions.
And that's been the storyline for Dak's career, though.
Yes.
That's not surprising. Now, last week, 3 offensive linemen were out.
Right.
2 of those guys are Hall of Famers.
Right.
That is always – Dak's kind of success has always been attached in many ways to Tyron Smith, his left tackle, like a lot of quarterbacks are. I'm not overly concerned about the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not. I still think they are one of the best teams in football. Last week, before the injury, I thought they were the best team in football. We got to see what this defense is without Trevon Diggs. And we got to see if they'll get the ball to CeeDee Lamb a little bit more in the red zone when it matters the most. I think the screen game has been utilized a little bit too much. This is not a deep breakdown. Jake Ferguson has 8 throws in the red zone. CeeDee has 2. That's inexcusable, to your point.
There's no coach I played with that would ever have our star players not get the football. I play with Tony Gonzalez now.
Right.
We're going to go to Tony Gonzalez in the red zone.
Even if
we're
going
to go to Roddy White in the red zone.
For Harry. Even if it means less touches for Harry.
I accepted that.
We cannot minimize the Trayvon loss.
Yeah.
That is a sign. If the Philadelphia Eagles lost Darius Slay, we would look at them very differently. We have to kind of be fair to Dallas. They got to figure out who they are on defense without Diggs.
And the other piece of this, I mean, Dak, and then there's the defense got pushed around, and if they are pushable, they're going to get pushed.
Next 2 weeks.
They got New England and San Francisco.
If this game was in New England, I would take
them. They're going to get pushed. We're going to see what winds up happening. All right, we'll get back to the basketball blockbuster as we go. Dame Dell. Are he and Giannis about to get Greek freaky all over the NBA? You'll hear from Woj in just a moment. But also, we got Sneaky Hembo, and we got Harry. Is it time to dance?
Harry.
Here we go. Jared Goff tonight looking to win a game at Lambeau Field. Which visiting quarterback has won the most games at Lambeau Field? That's the question.
Not me, Harry.
There goes my first guess.